the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right behind me, on either side of the altar of our beautiful church, are printed three fundamental texts, three fundamental tenets of the Christian faith: the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the Ten Commandments. Now, if anyone can read them from where you're seated right now, you have better eyesight than I do. But they are there nonetheless. They are beautifully written. They look to us to be sort of written in very old-fashioned script, and they're written on wooden panels that are bolted into the stone walls of the church. I'm pretty sure our predecessors didn't want us to move them away from where they are. They are there for all to see. They are there for guidance, for education, and they're particularly there for us when we come up to communion to see these three great texts of the Christian tradition. Sometimes they get admittedly a little bit lost next to the beautiful stained glass, but what can you do? I'm not going to get rid of either of them. Those panels have been there for more than a century. And like much of our beloved church, they are listed with the National Trust as essential decorations of our heritage-listed building. So even in a peak of postmodern affectation, either aesthetic or theological, you and I couldn't remove them, paint over them, or make any edits to them. I trust you'll be pleased to know. And why would we? They are, after all, fundamental, foundational documents to our life together as Christians. Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the Commandments. And that's why we say two of these every single Sunday: the Creed and the Lord's Prayer. And it is right during this Easter season we say the distillation of the third, the Ten Commandments, in the so-called two great commandments, which we've already said this morning. Jesus introduces those by saying the Ten Commandments can be reduced, distilled into those two great commandments. 20 years ago, when I served as assistant curate and precentor at Holy Trinity Cathedral in sunny Wangaratta, we did a cull of the vestryage and storage areas of the cathedral. Churches are a great repositories, or can be great repositories, of junk, St. John's included, if we're not careful. And so one very hot afternoon, the Dean and I were sorting out boxes and boxes of stuff. And we removed boxes of decades-old dusty Bibles and hymn books, and many of them in terrible condition, most of which had never seen the light of day, we reckon, for at least 50 years. Why they'd been kept was sort of anybody's guess. It was my job as a curate, and Kyron will feel very sympathetic to this because I make her do these things as well. I had to take the boxes from the cathedral to the bins, you know, the skip outside behind the parish hall. And so on one trip out to the bins, I was bathed in sort of dust and sweat and the funk of old books, and I was holding a massive teetering sort of pile of Bibles, making my way to the bins in the hope I didn't drop them. And this complete stranger was striding across the cathedral lawn, and he said to me, "What are you up to?" And I sort of had to say, "Well, you know, we're throwing out Bibles," which is sort of not a good look for a priest of the church. So I did my best to explain the situation, and he didn't seem very happy about it. He then grilled me on what it was that I was preaching in the cathedral, given that he just discovered that I was throwing out Bibles. And he said, "It better be," and I quote, "the wrath and fear of God." And I replied, while still holding these books, that I didn't think that the wrath and the fear of God was the distillation of Christ's gospel at all. And he wasn't happy about that either. "What then," he asked, "is the sum total of the New Testament?" Still holding the books, just a small question for a Sunday afternoon. The irony of me throwing out Bibles as I'm answering these questions was not lost on me. And I quoted to him from today's very gospel reading, John 15, verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." I then explained that in this very reading, Jesus, God incarnate, God made flesh, God with us, refers to us as his friends, not servants, but loved members of his circle, of his friendship group. And that to abide in that circle, to live, to flourish as people of God, we need do only one thing. "What's that?" he said, still holding the pile of books. "Love as Christ loved us," I replied. And he said, "But where's hell in that? Where's damnation?" And I reply to him, and I say to all of us this morning, the challenge is not to live and love for fear of hell or damnation, but rather live and love in fear of not loving those God has commanded us to love. There's no wriggle room here. This is not a suggestion from God. This is a commandment. The commandment of Jesus that distills the entire 10 printed on the wall in front of us is to love as he loved us. Well, with that, the stranger on the church lawn turned heel and strode across the lawn. I never saw him again, and never knew where he went. Never offered to help me with the books, and so off I toddled and went to the skip on my sort of 47th journey. I think it's intriguing that Jesus also talks about being chosen by him. What does it mean to be chosen by him? For the egotistical amongst us, we might think, well, this is the least God can do, you know. I'm after all pretty talented, pretty brilliant. Why wouldn't God choose me to do anything? Why wouldn't God choose me to be part of God's inner circle? The normal amongst us, and the more humble, I might suggest, might rightly ask the question, good Lord, what does it mean for us to be chosen by the Son of God? I think in reality we should be excited, humbled and challenged by this idea that Christ chooses us. How extraordinary it is to think that what brought us to church, to faith, new or old, is Christ through the inspiration, literally, of God's Holy Spirit. Think you brought yourself here for the very first time? Maybe it's the action of the Holy Spirit, the action of God in you, the action of God in here and in here. And what else should we let it, should we allow it, should we follow it, will the Holy Spirit do in each of us and in our church? And therein lies a persistent challenge, an invitation from God. Today we also read that the first letter of John informs us that the love of God is to obey God's commandments, and that such agreement is not burdensome or hard or difficult, because such following of these commandments is born of God, and wonderfully, they conquer the world. What an extraordinary thing that is. To live by the commandments of God will conquer the world. Not might, nor muscle, nor hate, nor violence. None of those things will conquer the world. Rather, the quiet service of God by following the commandments of God will conquer the world. No wonder then our ancestors here bolted those commandments to the walls of our church. It's particularly appropriate that we consider these things today, especially where we are in the church year. We are in the sixth week of Easter, 6 weeks of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and next Sunday, the seventh week, is the last of the whole season of Easter for this year. Equally, this past week on Thursday, the 6th of May, that was the celebration of the feast day of none other than St. John the Evangelist, our patron saint. Now, in non-COVID times, we have celebrated this feast way more abundantly, with perhaps a parish lunch or a special morning tea, which would have been after church today. Now this year, wisely or otherwise, I'm open to your criticism, I chose not to organise such an event for everyone to commit to feast and a celebration that might later have been yet another event that got cancelled or curtailed, or we had the numbers changed, or we had to sit 3 metres apart, or whatever it was. And I'm still very conscious that for many members of our church, the idea of being out and about and being with other people is still impossible for them. So here's hoping and praying next year we can celebrate St. John's Day a little bit more overtly than this year. As we live in this uncertain time, still in this time of the pandemic, and we need not look far to see the tragedy that continues to unfold at its hands, blessed we are here in Australia, and blessed we are here at St. John's in the season of Easter and in the wake of our patron saint's day. In the light of that, I think always we need to consider who we are as a people and who we are as a church and what makes us distinct, what we stand for, what people will be attracted to here and what people will see when they come here. And Jesus' commandment on this front is as utterly simple as it always has been, that you love one another as I have loved you. And this is to remain, to be and to be seen as a community of God's love. What does that mean? Well, it means love for each other in Christ's name. Love for self as people made in the image of God. Love for neighbour and stranger alike as people equally loved by God and equally made in the image of God. We are not to love as the world loves, but as Christ does. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for you and me to be a community of love? Is it merely the absence of bad things? Well, yes, the absence of bad things and will and always will be good. But what is it that we offer? What do we give here? How do we behave here? What is the discernible sort of thread of character that runs through our church? What do people recognise of us? I hope this morning the answer to those questions is a robust, welcoming community centred on living the commandments of God. And by those, we shall conquer the world. Before I end, I must say that I continue to be delighted that new people are joining this wonderful church and bringing their faith, new or old, their prayers, gifts and talents to St. John's. And several of you have remarked to me how welcome you have felt here, and that is such a wonderful thing to hear. Long may it continue. Along with a continued welcome to all God's people, I hope and I pray that Christian love here is also the thread that people see not only from afar, but is also that which binds you and me together as family, as friends, as people in the inner circle of God, Christ's friends and disciples, chosen by God to be community in God's name. So in the light of St. John's Day, our patron saint, the coming end of this Easter season, let us look to the future with Christian hope and charity, with continuing deep concern for those in need in our world, and with a commitment to be a church distinguished by Christ's love for us, Christ's love for each other, and all those who do and who will make this church their home. Amen.